Hey there, it's Nalco pinch hitting for Lisa this week. And speaking of pinch hitters, do you have any? You know, for when you've got a business trip or your child is sick and can't go to daycare, but you can't take the day off from work? Who do you turn to? That's a question working parents inevitably face. Our guest Daisy Dowling says that's why it's important to build a village. Daisy worked for years in human resources for large financial companies in New York City. She now writes for the Harvard Business Review to help working parents and the companies that want to retain them. We tap into her expertise for this one.
You're listening to The Work-Life Equation, the Bright Horizons Family Matters podcast for busy working families. Whether you're a working mom, a dad, or you're busy caring for other family members, we've got tips for how to fit jobs and families together and for how to make your work-life equation add up.
Days, of course, a lot of people go where the job is, and that doesn't necessarily mean family's around to help. So other than paying a babysitter, where to begin when building that village?
So I'm so glad you used that phrase, because building a village is something that we've all heard. It's used so often. It takes a village to raise a child. But what most working parents don't think about is their own role in building that village. Most of us do not live around extended family. Most of us who have been very professionally active may have moved away, as you say, for jobs, maybe living in different cities, probably don't have a whole army of people who are available to help us, or we don't feel as if they are. So one of the things that I always advise working parents who I work with is to figure out, just as they would in a work project, what their process is going to be for building a village that's going to support their child. And that's going to help not just when the child is born or arrives, but throughout the next 18 years. So I encourage people to be very proactive and think ahead and to revisit how does the village look? Do I have enough villagers within the village? Do I need more help and support? And the first thing to do with that, or the first piece of advice I provide people, is to think initially who your third parents are. And by third parents, I mean, who are the individuals around you? And they could be grandparents, they could be other family members, they could be just good family friends, it could be a neighbor. Who are the other adults around you who you have unassailable trust in, who know your family well, who you think have terrific judgment, who your kids know and are comfortable around, or will grow to be if they're babies now as they grow up, mm-hmm. who you can think of as being, as needed, deputized third parents. Mm-hmm. So to give an example, if you're at work, or let's say you're even on a business trip, and your child has to go to the pediatrician, who beyond yourself and your spouse would you trust to take that child to the pediatrician? It may be a paid caregiver, it may be grandma, it may be a neighbor, but that person needs to know you. You need to know that person is gonna ask the pediatrician good questions about the ear infection, that they're gonna come home with the right antibiotic, and that you trust them to do all of that. So by thinking who those people are, the one or two other people in your world who you can bring to that level of trust, you create the pillars and the centers of that village, mm-hmm. and you start expanding your circle of support in a really powerful way. And then you can move from there and build it out further beyond that.
Is this something that you should do before you have a child, or is it something that organically develops as you get into that parenting role and start putting your radar on people that might be helpful to your family?
So I recommend people be very concerted about this. Mm-hmm. So it may happen organically, but it's great to have a plan in place. Just again, as you would with a work project, with something that you're trying to tackle on the professional front, you'd probably have an organized way, list of tasks, an organized way to go about things. I encourage people, working parents, to think about their working parenthood in a very similar fashion. So if you're expecting a child, why not think ahead and imagine, 6 months from now or a year from now, when I really need a pinch hitter, when I really need support, when I'm not able to get to daycare in time because this work meeting is running long, who might I be able to turn to for additional help and support? And having that lined up ahead of time, I think also gives you a powerful feeling of being in control and prepared. Mm-hmm. Most working parents I talk to feel a little overwhelmed, a little stretched further than they'd like to be. Mm-hmm. But having a plan in place and sort of knowing who those people are gives you a sense of being in the driver's seat, which I think is very comforting and very powerful.
So what do you suggest is like a place to look for this type of person?
Yeah. So when I work with individual parents, I go through an exercise that I call the 5C model with them. And this is a model not just for finding child care, somebody who can actually babysit or look after your child, but a really holistic way to try and find additional resources across the board that can make your working parenthood go better and be easier. And the 5 C's are as follows. The first is career, which is a strange place to start in some ways, but I ask people to think about who amongst the managers they work for, the mentors they have, the professional sponsors or allies they have in their company or organization, either today, currently, or people in the past, who can they look to for advice, support, counsel, potentially for job flexibility, for advice on how to do their job more efficiently, and who might be able to staff them on different projects that don't require so much travel, mm-hmm. That might be a little less time consuming, et cetera. So first look at your career allies and have a conversation with them about the fact that you are now a working parent and see what sorts of advice and potential flexibility you can get there. The second is to look for colleagues. Most often when we're looking for help as a working parent, we look to our personal lives and some of our connections there. Colleagues can be an incredibly powerful source of support because they've been there and done that as working parents within the organization you're working in. They understand the culture, they understand the personalities, they understand the dynamics and the time pressures and how to advance. And colleagues at work can do a couple of really great things for you. One, they can provide you terrific advice on how to navigate working parenthood. And second, they can provide you some practical support, right? So they may be able to work with you on particular projects in a certain way, or they may be the people who can provide you the ride to work when your car is broken down. So don't be afraid to ask people for support and help amongst your colleagues, and even if you don't know them all that well at work. Most working mothers and fathers are incredibly generous at wanting to help other working mothers and fathers. So don't be afraid of looking to that group. The third is to look for corporate resources. So particularly for people who work in large organizations, it's typical that we don't really always understand all the benefits and supports that are available to us. So go to your company's intranet, go to your HR representative, go to your manager and ask more specifically about any of the programs and policies you can take, avail yourself of. That might be backup care through a corporate program. It might be flexibility policy that you didn't realize existed. It might be an employee assistance program, which might be able to point you to great resources that your family can use. Mm-hmm. Employee assistance programs are typically available to employees for free. So there's a lot of potential resource there that you want to make sure that you're using. The fourth is care, so other caregivers. And this can be any kind of paid or unpaid helper. It can be a babysitter who lives down the street from you. It can be a family member of any kind. It could be a family friend or, you know, again, a friend from college or somebody you know even from work. But these are the people who you can ask to come actually help take care of your child. So if you have to run a really important errand on a Saturday afternoon, who can you drop your three-year-old with for a couple of hours and then come back? You may have a couple of people in place who are doing a lot of that care for you right now, but I really push working parents to try and cast the net as wide as possible. You may have a grandparent who provides a lot of care to the baby, but what about an uncle or an aunt or, you know, the cousin who is in college and has a really flexible schedule and might be willing to come over and babysit sometimes? So to think about that as broadly as possible. And then finally, the fifth C is your couple, if you have a spouse or partner, and your community. And your community can be neighbors, fellow members of outside organizations like a church or a synagogue, other members of your professional network, people you worked with years ago, extended family members, friends. And here I encourage people to be really direct and really constructive around what they need and to find out, again, what's available. If you are a member of a church or a synagogue, maybe there's a babysitting service that's available there, or maybe there's another working parent who you can trade babysitting with on a Saturday afternoon so that you can finish up your, you know, important report that you have to finish for work. A lot of times working parents will tell me that their spouse or partner is not as helpful as they wish they would be, or they're not doing the right things. It's all about being direct and concise in your ask And in knowing that none of us do this alone. So the more you can think broadly about who might be out there to help you, the better off you'll be.
How much do you have to get the child sort of used to all these people within your net? And is that something that you have to kind of continuously manage and continuously have them in your system, if you will?
Absolutely. So if your child is going to be taken care of by anybody, whether that's a neighbor or a friend, you want to make certain that whenever your child is dropped with that person or that person is in your house, that your child is comfortable. And I think the way to do that is just by increasing familiarity. Mm-hmm. So early on, when your child is still very young, make certain that they're spending time with, you know, the aunt or uncle who you might look to as a backup care provider. Make certain that they go over and spend time playing at the neighbor's house so that if you need to, you know, leave them there for 30 minutes before the school bus comes when you have an early morning meeting, for example, that they're familiar with that, that they feel comfortable going into that environment. But one of the things that I really encourage working parents to think about is that they already have the skill set to do this. It might feel a little bit alien. Okay, I'm managing this village and I'm getting my kids used to, you know, being with other adults. It just feels like an entirely new frontier. But every single working parent is used to thinking about their own professional network. And professional networks, just like personal networks that you might have to support your family and you as a working parent, professional networks have to be tended and maintained, and you have to keep up good relationships and make certain you're spending time with people. It's a very different set of relationships, but nevertheless, if you are 10 or, you know, more years into a career, you're probably pretty good at doing that. And it's, you can take some of that thinking and some of that skill and apply it to how you're going to be a working parent as well.
Right. So how do you kind of come to terms with the psychological side of it or the emotional side of it where you're like, I don't want to ask too many times. I don't want to, you know, burden someone with the responsibility of constantly having to help me out.
Yeah. So it's a terrific question because most of us feel like we don't want to be a burden to others. And as successful, hardworking professionals, the tack that we take 95% of the time when faced with a challenge is to buckle down and do things ourselves.
Right.
If we just work harder, things will all come together. But there are very few cultures, there are very few individuals where a working parent can really manage everything themselves. The phrase, it takes a village, has become a very common one for a reason, because it does take a lot of helping hands and support to raise a child, much less raise a child when you are a working parent and have, you know, a really demanding job that you're going off to every day. So I encourage people to not think about asking for help as something that's a mark against them. If another person does not want to help you, they will probably tell you that or try and, you know, wiggle out of helping you. And you can always say to people, listen, you are a huge support and benefit to me in terms of this, you know, the help that you are giving me here. Please let me know if at any time this becomes too much. And that's a graceful way to establish a candid, honest dialogue with somebody who might be part of your village, but who you don't want to overburden. So I think there are ways around that, but I encourage people to not be shy and to know that no working parent is capable of going it alone.
I guess it's easy to be consumed with, like, who am I going to have look after my child, or who is going to pick up my son today or my daughter today? But you can also be the help to somebody else.
Exactly. So you want to have a thriving, happy village, but you can also be part and useful to other villages too, to other families. This morning, as it happens, was my older child's first day of first grade. And all of the first day jitters that six-year-olds typically have, she had, and her classmates did too. One of her classmates is the child of a single mom who was not able to come to school this morning because she had a non-negotiable work meeting that she needed to attend. And so the child showed up at school, and she's good friends with my daughter, and the child got very upset because she couldn't remember which classroom she was supposed to go to. Now, I was standing there looking at a, you know, very upset small child, and of course, naturally scooped her up and took her off to the school office and figured out which classroom she was supposed to get to, and then walked her there to make certain she got there safely and well and was happy and felt like she had been taken care of. That took me probably less than 3 minutes in total, and of course I would do it, and the other parent would have done it if it had been my daughter as well. But it's just one example of how villagers can swap, and about how each and every one of us has the capacity to really be a benefit to other working parents, as well as to get help from other working parents.
You hear about that a lot, especially as the kids get older and, you know, you need to go to this activity and that activity, and maybe your kids have two different activities that they need to get to.
Exactly. There is so much creative problem solving amongst working parents today, and it doesn't get a lot of play in the media, and we don't hear about all these wonderful, ingenious solutions that are being put together by average working moms and dads on a daily basis. Because I write a column about working parenthood, I receive a lot of emails from working parents who I don't know about some of the solutions and advice they have. And I got a terrific email earlier this week from a mom whose husband, whose partner, is a firefighter. And she talked about what her family does when the kids are on school vacations. So, you know, you have these long stretches when school's out, when you may not have another caregiving arrangement. Those other caregiving arrangements may be very expensive or inaccessible. And she said that her husband is on duty at the firehouse for these long stretches, 24 hours at a time, you know, 3 or 4 days a week. And on the days he's off, he takes responsibility for their kids, but he also is a backup for other families that are associated with this firehouse who may find themselves in a pinch, in a bind, because their own childcare arrangements may have fallen through. So you have this great cohort of firefighter colleagues who are covering for each other and helping each other, not just inside the firehouse, but outside the firehouse. And I thought that was just such an inspirational idea, that people would be giving mutual aid and support to extended families, to their colleagues, to their colleagues' spouses, in such a wonderful way.
It sounds like people just have it in themselves to want to help, regardless of how much they have on their plate as working parents. Like, is that something that you find within the community that you work with?
Absolutely. So 100% of the advice that I have in my column, that I provide in the sessions I do with individual working parents, and in the training and the workshops that our organization runs, it's all from other working parents. And it's all from the research that we do going to working mothers and fathers of all backgrounds, biological, adoptive, gay, straight, in all different professions, different income levels, different parts of the country, saying to them, what works? And how are you handling this? And then taking their great advice, because people are creative and smart, and working parents are sometimes have to be more creative and smarter than anyone else. Taking those bits and pieces and putting them together into sort of condensed packages that other working parents can then use. And so it's things that have worked elsewhere and they can work for you too.
It's interesting that you mentioned the sort of, it doesn't matter what kind of financial situation you're in, building a village is, you know, it doesn't need to cost money.
Absolutely. Listen, working parenthood is it can be very expensive. Anybody who has been, you know, just to back to school shopping the way I have knows that, you know, money can go very quickly, or, you know, pediatrician's bills and, you know, even with great insurance, those things can add up really fast. Raising a child is, you know, is a significant thing financially. And there are certainly some really powerful paid ways in which you can extend your village. But there's some powerful ways that you can get help from other people who might just be on your team and willing to volunteer their time, or through a barter system by saying, you know what, I'll watch your kids for a couple of hours and, you know, you can take my kids to school tomorrow morning. There's all kinds of ways of mutual support that can be found and that can work really well without having to pay somebody or without incurring extra cost.
Right. So do you have any sort of final tips on building a village?
Yeah. So I have a couple of final pieces of advice. The first is to stop beating yourself up. So working parents are working so hard all day at work, and then they come home and they have a second shift. They're working so hard. They want to be great parents. The investment in raising a child from just the physical caregiving to the emotional caregiving as they get older. It's just so gigantic. So it's a very, very difficult task. Asking for help is an important thing to do. And the smart working parent doesn't try to do it all. They try to figure out how to get it all done. So don't worry and don't criticize yourself for needing additional support.
Well, asking for help, that's not always easy for everyone, right?
It's not easy for everybody, but every working parent needs to get really comfortable with it, because life will be better for us individually as working parents when we do that. And I think society at large will be better when we all recognize that working parents do need additional support. The second thing is to be really direct with your village that they're part of the village. And to say thank you when people have gone the extra mile or been helpful to you in terms of either caring for your child or giving you a great piece of career advice about how to succeed as a working mother or father. And the third thing is to make certain that your village is also set up to support you, not just to support the caretaking of your kids, which is obviously so critical, so important, but also there to be, you know, helpful to you when you feel overwhelmed and need to sit down and have a cup of coffee and get back on track and mm-hmm. need a, you know, mentor or a supportive voice there. To help you when you have a really big presentation at work, and to give you great feedback even when you've been up all night with a sick child the night before you have to give that presentation. So make certain that you're taking care of yourself as well as taking care of your job and your child.
You hear that a lot.
Yeah.
Do you find this to be a topic that comes up quite often? Are people wanting to know more about how to build a village, or are they confused about how to do it?
Yeah. So typically people say to me, I need help, but I don't know where to get it from. And I think it comes from, as you said at the start of this conversation, the people who might naturally be most helpful to you. They might be grandparents or your own siblings or best friends. You might be very far away from them. You might, or they may be very busy in their own careers with their own kids. You may not feel that help is accessible. You may not know where to go for it. So most of the conversations that I have with people are around the tactics of, how do you cast the net broad? How do you identify some of these people? And then how do you bring them in, and what do you ask them to help you with? Mm-hmm. And the real process of getting that village up and running, having people inside it and then having it up and running. But what I think happens, and it's such a pleasure to watch this, when either I'm delivering a workshop or working with an individual parent, is when you have people go through the exercise of this 5C model, when you have them look very broadly at who might be able to help them, they typically begin to sit up a little bit straighter, and they smile a little bit more, and they seem a little bit more confident, and sometimes they start laughing, you know, sort of despite themselves. And you can tell, and a lot of people tell me directly, that they're thinking, I didn't think about asking that person. Mm-hmm. Or, wow, there actually are a lot of people. There's that woman down the hall at work who's in the same situation I am, but her kids are a little bit older. Maybe I should go have a cup of coffee with her. So all of a sudden, they go from feeling really constrained in terms of the help they can get to feeling like, wow, there's a lot of people I haven't even tapped. There are other resources. Let me go pursue this. Number one. And number two, they feel like they're back in control. I'm looking at what I can do to help myself and my career and my family. And I'm in the driver's seat doing that. And I think that's a really, really powerful and important thing, to know that you're the steward of all this, that working parenthood is not just a series of emergencies or things happening to you, even though sometimes it might feel like that, but something that you are driving.
Daisy says one of her friends actually has a group text ready to go to the village whenever she needs the help. You might be amazed at how willing that village is to lend a hand if you build it.
If you like what you heard today, get more of our podcast by subscribing. While you're downloading, let us know what you thought, or give us a share. Thanks to everyone for being here. We look forward to seeing you next time as we help make the work-life equation add up.